Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, we've had a good Friday show so far. Done a little more work on a Friday than we're used to.
Heck yeah, we have. I'm tired of it.
You were out for most of the work, though.
Well, I did a lot pre-show because of the press conference.
Yeah, that's true.
So I've had a lot to catch up on.
You had to sit and listen to it.
Yeah, you never know when it's going to end. So you just got to wait.
Didn't Ethan do it? Or did you?
Well, I was in here to talk in and out of it.
Did you Mystery Science Theater, the press conference? Did you talk during the press conference?
No, I didn't talk on the air during it. I mean, we were talking amongst ourselves, but no, I did not speak during the president's remarks. I wouldn't do that to him.
Sure you would.
If the occasion called for it, maybe.
We did carry that press conference during the 11 a.m. hour leading into the Annie Fry Show. And, you know, I didn't realize coming in, because I was only listening to it, I didn't realize that he was in the press briefing room, that he came in to do that. He did that a lot, I felt like, a lot more during 2016, his first term. Didn't he walk into that room quite a bit?
Yeah, we were saying that off air. We did not interrupt him, that we haven't seen him do this maybe at all.
I don't think I've seen him do it at all. Carolyn Leavitt has owned that space, shared it with other people, but Carolyn Leavitt doesn't share that space with Donald Trump. Donald Trump walked in there, and that was one thing that I learned when I was at the press briefing, in the press briefing room when I was in DC, is like, that's super close. I mean, it might be like a 3-minute walk to get from the Oval Office into the press briefing room. It's all right there in the same place. And that made me think, like, why doesn't he do it more often? And I really think, going back to what we've talked about a little bit earlier this hour, the 1 o'clock hour, that Donald Trump's successes, the things that he has achieved, and the left's inability to have the stranglehold on the media successfully, they've tried. Nobody cares. Nobody's watching that anymore. That he's not in a fighting mood. He's in a doing mood. He's in his Oval Office or wherever he might be, doing the work, getting the job done. Carolyn Leavitt is taking care of business in the press briefing room. But he's not nearly as combative as he's been in the past. And I don't think that's because he doesn't have the fight in him. I just don't think that the left has any fight left.
Mm. Well, they can't figure out what to hit him on. I mean, every week, if you're a professional protester, you don't know what to even protest anymore. God bless them. They're out there all the time. But the signs are all over the place. The issues are conflated. You know, they can't figure out which flag to raise in any given moment. So it's just hard for them.
The only flag that they have consistency on is their disgust and hatred of the American flag. How can you be part of the far left, aggressive, progressive party? And what is it? Do they ever even talk about loving America?
Not really.
No. I mean, is there ever a conversation that comes out of the likes of, I don't even like saying her name, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or whatever it is. Are they ever out there talking about what's great about this country?
I would say that they will cherry pick certain issues from American history. And
no, not American history. I'm talking about, is there anything they love about this country right now?
Yes, they love talking about how we are a nation of immigrants. We are a diverse nation. And those things are true, but they're using them mm-hmm. in a modern way.
I don't even think that that is a celebration of America. I think that's saying that we're not good enough, that what we are is bad and what they are coming in is good. And it almost feels like from this end of it that what the AOCs of the world are saying, we deserve this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything is a great sin. And America is constantly having to atone for the great sin of being America to the progressive left. That even when they're talking about that, it's denigrating who we are as a country and propping up who they are coming in, which is ironic because the people who are coming into our country who want to go through some sort of immigration process because they care and love about love America and they want to be a part of America, they see something here that is worth pursuing and in many cases risking their lives to get here. And if they're, depending on the process, risking a lot of treasure to get here because it can cost a pretty penny to go through that process. They love what we have. They love America in a way that these detractors, the AOCs of the world, don't. I don't think that they love this country. I don't think they going back to what the original in my lifetime, the fork in the road was Barack Obama running for office saying he wanted to fundamentally transform America on the promise of the very measurable statistic of hope and change. There's this great sin that exists in our country and slavery, which creates a perpetual racial divide. We've had clips from Jamal Bowman. I don't know if you pulled him, but Jamal Bowman was on the roundtable on CNN.
I've got the headline. It was part of the B.
Now, but I mean, well, yes. I mean, it's so offensive to so many people when a former representative in Congress, he literally says that black people face increased risks of obesity because they walk around being called the N-word or it's implied everywhere they go. That is a real thought that he brought to the table. CNN said, come talk to us here. And that is a real thought that he has. There is no coming back from that type of mentality. And I have a diverse group of friends. They don't talk and think like that. So is he speaking for everybody who looks like him? I highly doubt it. But that is a really, really angry way to go through life. I will take it into a place that I can speak from, being a woman. I know people in my life, I know women in my life who think that everything bad that happens to them because men. That, like, you're going to shake your fist at the man all of the time because you're being held back by the man. I know people who live like that. They can't be satisfied. There's no amount of male removal that is going to make them feel like they aren't at a disadvantage always. And you can kind of have that disadvantaged perspective and it's a chip on your shoulder, so you want to live your life and you want to prove the people wrong. But if at the end your only satisfaction is that you've proved people wrong, that's not ultimately gratifying. At some point it has to be done from some sense of positivity. Where, you know, let my work stand for itself. Let my efforts speak for themselves. The left has made an entire political movement out of saying, what's the most unfortunate thing that you feel about yourself? And then they list for you what your options are. Well, from looking at you, I can tell that you're a person of color, or that you are older, or that you are younger, or that you are female, or whatever it might be. And they'll tell you all of the things, like which lane would you like to follow through with in your greatest disadvantage? And now for the rest of your life, guess what? You're still going to be that thing. And you've labeled it as a disadvantage. Like, how do people live a joyful life with elements of who they are intrinsically as a God-made person being their greatest disadvantage? That is an unhappy place to live. And I am convinced in these last 5 months that the only emotion that the aggressive progressive left can show is anger. That it's just everything is rooted in this deep-seated disgust and anger, and they feel as though that's motivating enough to move people. But at the end, if they successfully move people, they're more mad than they've ever been.
Yeah.
You had Joe Biden as the president. You're more mad than you've ever been. I didn't look at y'all thinking you looked really happy in the 4 years that Joe Biden was president. Can you be happy? Because I look at the people on the other side of the political aisle and I see them be frustrated, annoyed, disgusted at times, angry at the hypocrisy. But those are emotions they go in and out of while they live their lives and experience the things that give them joy.
And the saddest thing is that the kind of people you're talking about, that's not every Democrat, but it is the people who are controlling the direction of the party.
No, like I continue to say, it's the aggressive progressive left. It's
exactly.
Not even Democrats.
Right.
It's the people whose entire identity is based on all of the stickers in their car or in their yard or whatever. Like the things that they, it walks into the room before they do.
And that activist class controls the direction of the party. It, you know, there's always extremes in every movement, But usually it's the kind of the middle ground that kind of pushes the pendulum. But that group of people, that's probably 30% of the party who said that Biden won the debate. I always go back to that poll. If you thought Biden won the first debate with Trump, then you are crazy. And you are part of that 30% of people who do not live in reality. You protest everything. You get mad at everything. As long as you're keeping it peaceful, that's good. But, you know, these things get out of control. They become violent in a lot of ways. And it's never ending. Whatever the issue of the day is, they will take up their signs and protest against that thing.
Like you said, the flag, it's the same stuff, different details. The flag will change. But the protests, the chants and everything, they all stay the same. When we come back, Ethan's local news segment, he's going to bring everything home for us in a segment named Once Again Today, Something Different by Ryan Wiggins. If you guys have suggestions of something that might stick for the Ethan local news segment, the ELN.
No, we did not just name it.
No, I'd still have to explain that every time. Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube chat. Go vote and tell us also, which do you prefer, 105 degree heat index or -5 degree wind chill? Ooh, these both sound miserable. You let us know what you think. We'll be right back.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
This is actually Ethan in his grade school band.
Literally. Literally. This is like the first Jonas Brothers hit.
I was going to say, this is pre-puberty.
It's like camp rock. That's basically what this is.
Big Jonas Brothers fan?
I love the Jonas Brothers. Went through that phase kind of like every like teenage boy does where you're like, I'm too cool for them. Like everyone did that for Justin
Bieber,
too.
But then it sounds like your childhood.
Then you get older and you're like, oh my gosh, this was so good.
Yeah?
So good. Yes. Love the Jonas Brothers.
YouTube live chat poll for today, youtube.com/@AnnieFry. Which do you prefer, 105 degree heat index or a -5 degree wind chill? Go vote and let us know what you think. Now we get a little local with Ethan.
Just a little background. We've had Ethan's Saucy Soiree. We've had Gangsta Ethan's Mega Segma. And then yesterday was Mega Muffin's Mostly Manic Musings. And now
no,
today.
Mostly Manic Musings was part of it.
Check it out.
Ethan's Boring Local News.
Straight to the point. Who suggested that?
These are still from our originals. So next week will be all the listener suggestions.
Seemed like a Steve installment to me.
No. No, I do have several written
Glad
down.
It's not.
So if you have really good ones, share them in the chat and I'll write them down.
Name Ethan's local news segment. All right, what do you got?
So when you say it's from the group, do you mean it's from you?
Yes.
Got it. Okay, just wanted to clarify there. Okay, so last night, 2 nights ago, was the NBA draft, and normally you'd say, well, why the heck does that matter here in St. Louis? Well, I thought it would be cool to mention real quickly that a St. Louisan did actually get drafted. Ryan Kalkbrenner got picked by the Charlotte Hornets.
Another successful St. Louis Ryan.
Mm-hmm. There's so few
What do you mean
us.
Another?
Me.
Brendan Ryan.
Oh. Nice. Quick on your feet there.
That was pretty quick. I was going through them.
I thought she was talking about me.
Ryan played for the Phillies. Did he play for the Phillies? Is his name Ryan?
Ryan Howard.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, the Phillies.
He's
nice.
A St. Louis boy.
Mm-hmm. He is. He is indeed. Maybe a future Hall of Famer. But this Ryan.
Let's
Ryan,
just talk about all the successful
Governor
St. Louis
George
Ryans.
Ryan.
Is he from here?
I don't know if he's from right here.
You can't just name Ryan.
Governor of Illinois.
Hmm. Not in jail?
Might be. Yeah, not
hard,
sure.
It's hard to remember.
Not really sure.
Ryan Kalkbrenner.
Oh.
That's quite the last name. Kalkbrenner. second round pick.
Moving on.
The Charlotte Hornets. 34th overall pick. He went to Creighton. Was really good there. They made a couple of good runs into the NCAA tournament. And then, went to was raised in Florissant and then played at Trinity Catholic High School. In the area. So congrats to Ryan Kalkbrenner. Speaking of drafts, the NHL draft is tonight. The Blues have the 19th pick. The first round will be tonight. So be keeping an eye out on who will be the next Blues first round pick.
Best draft to watch?
Just in general, all five drafts. I mean, it has to be the NFL draft.
Did you see what happened in the NBA draft with the announcement of who got drafted first?
Cooper Flagg.
Cooper Flagg did. Coward?
Colin Coward. Well, I did hear this.
That's what they announced.
I did.
But Colin Coward is the host of a show called
I did hear about
The
this.
Herd. And I know this because I used to board op for it back in a long time ago in the mid-2000s. But that wasn't... It was
no,
Cedric.
They said, yeah, the wrong name. And they said Colin Coward. Talk about screwing up the one job you had.
Yeah. Well, I mean, seriously. Did you say the detail about the? I know that the Blues have selected who's going to make the announcement for the NFL or for the NHL.
Yeah,
draft.
It's going to be Nikki Glaser.
Yeah, I thought that's a thing that people do. Like you get to be the person who announces.
Yeah,
the...
it's not a crazy popular thing, but it is a thing. You see it a lot in the NFL draft where they'll have like a former player from that team come out and he'll make the pick. But it's kind of fun. Listen, I feel like. Her kind of rise and fall and rise again. Like her fall was kind of in the time where I feel like I would have been paying attention to her. I don't know anything about Nikki Glaser.
What was her fall?
She just got irrelevant, I felt like, for a little while again. Like she was really big and then like no one talked about her. And now it feels like as of late, the last couple of years, she's been more around a little bit, I feel like.
Huh. Okay.
Maybe that's just me. It sounds like it might just be me.
Also, open question. Is ESPN just... all day them playing radio shows?
I wouldn't know.
Wait,
are you talking
either.
About ESPN radio?
No.
Yes, that's a yes.
ESPN TV, we won't watch it here, but whenever I've seen it during a weekday, it's just a broadcast. It would be like tuning in and watching our live stream, but it's on
YouTube.
ESPN.
Come on and join us.
So I'm just like, oh, they must be needing some programming.
Not entirely, but it's a portion of it. They still do a good chunk of SportsCenter, which is discussion with different people, but they're also coming to you. You know, for example, the last several days, there's been a lot of NBA draft coverage, and then tonight for the NHL draft. So they do those kinds of things where they'll have people on site, kind of like a, you know, any news channel would. But then they're also covering consistently yesterday's highlights, the highlights that have occurred, upcoming games and stuff like that too. Ooh. So it's a balance of each. Moving on here, and what was it today? Ethan's boring local news.
Yep.
Thank you. A year later.
Kind of catchy.
A year later, sinkhole restoration is underway at Gordon Moore Park.
Still?
Oh, wow.
Do you guys remember
this?
Yes. Oh, heck yeah.
Had they started? Like, it's just starting?
It's just getting going.
Wow.
They haven't done anything to it?
Nope.
Isn't that by Spencer T?
Yes.
Big hole. I could hit the ball in that hole.
So it was just... This is not very far from where I grew up. This is only 5 minutes down the road, probably in Alton. And last year on their brand new renovated soccer fields, they just put on all this nice turf, had completely redone everything. And there's video footage of it, security footage. A giant light pole just falls into the ground. And this 50-foot deep sinkhole just appears.
Is this stuff of nightmares? The fact that the ground can open up underneath you at any time and swallow you up.
The scary part is that, and thankfully nobody was injured, but like, this was on a kid's soccer field.
Uh-huh.
Like, oh my gosh, imagine if this would have happened like at a different time. This could have been horrific.
Thank God it didn't.
Yeah, no kidding.
What's crazy is that it's in the very center of the field. It's like, well, if you had to have a sinkhole form somewhere, how about the middle of an open field when nobody's in it? It's just so odd that it would be right there and not a few feet in one direction or the other. It could have taken out bleachers or a building.
Almost dead center.
Yeah. It was such a bizarre story. I think they haven't done anything on it yet either.
How much did they say? How much it cost or anything like that? Because I can't even imagine after it had been fully renovated. I hope the insurance helped out there a bit. But how long it would take? Like, how do you fill a 50? You said 50-foot deep hole. Is that what you said?
Yeah, the 50-foot deep, 100-foot wide. I have a picture here that I'm trying to pull up on the stream.
Can hit a golf ball into that hole. Yeah, I don't understand how you. live near that and deal with knowing that that's just there.
If you're on, we have a picture of it up right now.
That looks fake. It's real.
Yeah.
It's real. But that doesn't that look like it's AI or something?
Yeah, it does. I wouldn't believe it if it weren't heavily reported on.
So the latest picture, right, because it's been raining so much, it's almost full, like, to, like, even level, like, with water right now.
This is near a quarry. I mean, Alton, like, there are quarries around there.
In that area, but not right on top of it. I think
you wouldn't put a youth field.
So I broadcasted for a team that played in this park, a summer collegiate team, and every day at 3 o'clock you would get vibrations in the press box because there is a limestone, I believe it's limestone, mm-hmm. Factory, right, where they are digging it up, I guess. And this all occurred, I guess, because in some sort of connection with that explosion and it caused that collapse. So officials initially estimated, like I said, 100 feet wide, 50 feet deep. Currently, it's full of water, which Mayor David Goyne said is actually a positive sign because it means the water is not seeping below the surface. So I guess
that's
a good thing. Mm-hmm. The plan, kind of the Cliff Notes version, is that it will stabilize underground. And once the underground is stabilized, New Frontier Materials, once that is stabilized underground, then they'll be able to fill in the hole. And obviously, once it's filled, then, you know, you can start to figure out what to do with it again, if it's going to ever be able to be open to be used by people. Goins hopes to have them restored by next summer, but there's still a lot that has to happen before we can get to that point. So
I'm glad you brought this
crazy.
Up. I didn't realize, A, that it had been a year, and that, B, nothing has been done.
Yeah, I mean, everything was there. First, there had to be an investigation, right? So that took several months of just waiting to see if, okay, can we even open the park back up to people? So that took a little while. And then I imagine, I don't know if maybe you hit the winter and maybe that has something to do with it, but it hasn't been winter for a while. So I don't know what the holdup has been.
Good segue. Which do you prefer, 105 degree heat index or a -5 degree wind chill? Do you have a preference on this before we wrap?
You know, my mindset is you can always put more clothes on. You can always put more clothes on. So I think that I'd prefer the cold.
Ryan preferred the heat, you know.
Because you can only take so many off. You get to a certain point and you get arrested, or you just run around downtown and people are like, eh, whatever.
Ask us anything on the YouTube live chat. Next question, next segment. And your great, great,
great granddaughter. This is the Annie Fry Show.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Next question.
Question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question.
Next question, please.
Next question on the Annie Fry Show.
Oh, man. Here's my first question, and I'm saying it because it just happened to me again. Is there anything more annoying than getting on somebody's list for spam calls?
Ooh, man.
I really think it's a unifying, bipartisan, tripartisan, mm-hmm. nonpartisan issue. If you could get people to stop being able to get your phone number and hound you, I don't want solar. I don't want to change my electrical. I don't know who Corey is. Corey is not in my phone number. Corey, somewhere out there right now, people are looking for you. And if you owe them money, please pay them. I don't. On a scale of 0 to 10, how annoying are spam calls to your cell phone?
9.
What's a 10?
10 would be if I got more of them. I don't get a lot of them.
I must have clicked on something or fell into something here. I'm not joking. I bet you I get 15 calls a day.
Wow.
I just quit answering my phone. If you're trying to get a hold of me and I'm not answering your calls, you need to send me a text message.
That is a lot. I'm very careful with who I give my phone number to as far as companies and stuff go. But I did somehow in the last year get on something. You know what I think it was? Is that I answered a poll at some point.
Yeah.
Because I like polls. And then you become part of a list. It's not a big list, but it's a list, and I'm on it.
I don't mind getting calls during campaign seasons for, like, how do you feel about this candidate? I like to know what questions they're asking, particularly because I think it makes us do our job better. But roofers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Electrical. Oh, my God. Knock it off. I think you should be able to, like, register somewhere, which at one point they did in the no-call list.
What happened with that?
Scrap the big, beautiful bill and figure this out. It's driving me crazy. Next question.
It seems a little extreme, but...
it's because you're not getting... I'm going to call you 15 times a day and ask you dumb questions.
You know I'm going to answer that, and I'm going to answer every question.
But I'm going to do it in an accent.
Okay.
I'm going to change my voice. What's the voice that you do for me?
Hey, this is Andy Fry. I'm Andy Fry.
People get confused with me all the time. I'm going to change my voice just like you.
I've asked this question. Actually, we've talked about this topic before, but it's becoming a reality. Self-driving cars. Would you take a self-driving Uber if you landed in a different city on vacation right tomorrow?
To me, I'm not opposed to being in a self-driving car at some point in time. I don't think that they're ready yet.
They're in San Francisco right now.
Yeah, everything in San Francisco is great.
On the streets. And they poop.
Well, they were in Waymo, too. Or they were in L.A., too, and Waymo had to move them out because people were calling them in.
What is Waymo?
Waymo's the driverless taxi company, and they were calling them in. The rioters were calling them in and then setting them on fire.
Yes, that's right. They had to
I don't
move
know if that's
out.
Really like... a driverless car problem.
It's not as much, but
more of a California problem.
Down the road from the original problem.
I don't think it's unrealistic to think that in our lifetime, driverless cars will be a normal thing, but I'm not there yet.
I'm not there yet either. I like driving, but I also can't stand the idea of being driven by a computer. I don't like that because, you know, your computer locks up, you get the blue screens, all of those other things.
Oh, I'd do it in a heartbeat. I can't wait for it because my guess is that based on what Elon's saying about self-driving Teslas, that it's going to be a lot cheaper than an Uber. So
I'm kind of thinking about a Tesla.
Are you?
Well, let's get to next question. That's going to be a lead in a
next
tease.
Question. Are you thinking about a Tesla?
No, it's not your turn, Brad.
So as an adult, which parent are you most like?
I thought you were going to ask me which of my parents I like the most.
All right, we could rearrange these words.
I'm most like the mom in the family. Is that what you mean?
No, your parent, Annie.
Which parent role do you fall into more, mom or dad?
Yeah. What do you identify
delinquent,
as?
Absent. No, not at all. It just depends on the issue. I'm like my mom in a lot of ways. I'm like my dad in a lot of ways. The real question, I think, kind of boils down to nature and nurture. What are you naturally like, and what did you learn, and how do you... control your nature with experience, but it's I'm definitely a product of both my parents.
It's hard to say personality wise because I definitely have characteristics from both too. Yeah. But I will say this, and maybe it's a little different now that I'm a little older. But growing up, I don't think I really looked like either one of my parents that much.
Do you know?
Probably a little bit more, but. My son, Sinjin, doesn't really look that much like me either. I don't think. Now, some people will come along and say, oh, he looks just like you.
Do
or
your
mom.
Kids look, reflect the way you or your wife looked like when they were children?
Yes.
That's the creepy thing to me is I will see pictures of my daughters and little pictures of me. And we were raised in the 80s. So they're like, and I'm a middle child. They're like four pictures of me. Mm-hmm. But there is definitely a genetic connection between my girls and me. But I think they favor Jared more than they favor me. My son.
Ooh, that's tough.
I don't know when the last time you saw Charlie was, but it's thrown off my mom's spidey senses in the house. Like, you know how if you get used to the flow of a room and people are coming in and out of the room, but like you can sense the footsteps or feel the presence and you're like, okay, wife is in the room, husband is in the room. My son and my husband are the same person in my senses, and that's not good.
Because he's tall enough now?
He's man size. He's taller than... He's the tallest person in our house.
His gait matches your husband's gait?
Something like that.
You should ask him to start doing some sort of weird stompy walk.
I've told him he needs to start paying for some stuff.
What about you?
I think that I, when I was younger, I was like, why is my dad the way he is? And then as I've gotten older, I'm like, I'm my dad. I understand why he is the way he is.
Maybe he was the way he was because of you.
It's a distinct possibility. Actually, I would say it's probably true. I probably drove that poor man up the wall my entire childhood. But I appreciate all the lessons that he's taught me.
Yeah. Next question. Here's my... I'm requesting advice from you two and from the YouTube live chat. I have a 15-year-old son. His birthday is the day after Christmas. So our family is considering a new mode of transportation purchase in the home because he's 16. And we have four children in the house, so we need to be a lot of places at a lot of times. And him being able to drive to school, which is not terribly far from our house, is going to free up our obligation significantly. So I am in favor of him having a vehicle that he can use. Our van is paid off. We have payments on the Jeep. We were thinking we would buy him a vehicle. We don't want to spend more than $10,000. I don't really want to. I want to buy some old lady's car who's not driving anymore, basically. But since I don't have that, should I get him a vehicle? Should I get myself a vehicle and he drives the van? And I said something to him about it, and he was like, he doesn't care about driving the van, but I also don't care if he cares, but it's also nice if he's, like, excited about it. It's a nice van. What would you do?
I would look forward to getting the craziest car I could possibly get.
For?
Myself. Like a dump truck or a Rolls Royce.
This is really helpful.
Just
your response is a Rolls Royce.
Yeah, but an old one. Not a classic one, but one that has lost all of its value because that's the only way I can afford it. But something really crazy.
Do you have anything helpful?
One of those Japanese K trucks?
The answer's no. I'm going to read comments here. Brad?
Where I'm at, I think back to my childhood. My parents had a minivan and I would drive it a lot. And a teenage boy with a minivan. Now, laws have changed about who you can have in and ride with you. But a teenage boy with a minivan seems like a recipe for disaster to me.
Why?
Because we are irresponsible. So we would load it up with kids.
Charlie appreciates your thoughts.
This is what we would do. We would load it up with kids and then we would go do something and get ourselves in trouble and then bring the minivan back all filthy and covered in dirt and all that other stuff.
So he cleans it or he doesn't drive it again.
Right.
And also the thought of my son driving the minivan that has friends in it, and he has good friends, so I'm not worried about his friends. I am more interested in him being the person who's in charge than turning it over to somebody who I wouldn't know.
Which I would agree with that statement. Charlie's a great kid. I wouldn't I wouldn't worry about him as much as I would worry about, like, you know, me at that age. But that's my only concern. That and
you also have to remember, Brad, we have six people in our house.
Yes,
so if you limit the seating in the next vehicle, that's really another crux here that is difficult. Is I want him to, like, be able to go pick up other kids or whatever. So he doesn't necessarily need to be able to fit six people in the car. Mm-hmm. But if our family is going to utilize that car for any purpose, we would need to. But it has to at least be able to fit five.
Yeah.
I'm opposed to sedans or whatever because they make me feel like they're not as safe. Like, a small car makes me feel like he would lose a battle.
What about if it's a big sedan, though? Not, you know what I mean?
Like a 1976 Lincoln.
No, we're not buying old cars. That's not, I mean,
Lincoln Continental.
We can buy used cars, but we're not buying old cars. And here's another thing to think of. He does all of his permit driving in cars that have cameras all over the place. Like, he's used to driving with that technology. Is it good for him to know how to drive a car without that technology? Absolutely. Value that for sure. But the technology is helpful. And I'd have to buy the vehicle early enough that he gets enough permit driving done in a vehicle where he has to check his mirrors only because there is no camera or beeping sound that says, hey, slow down or stop. Should I get a car? I mean, especially with the car payment. If I could find the right car that was cheap, I wouldn't really care what it was.
You should probably get it.
But it has to be a safe car.
Yeah. You should probably get a used car.
Oh, definitely
him.
Definitely used.
A new used car for him.
Yeah.
That way it's...
I like my minivan too. Like, I'm not looking to get out of my minivan. I'm looking around at cars right now and I'm driving and I'm like, there's nothing that I'm like, I really want that.
And it, not that this is the most important thing in the world, but it is nice if you if you're going to start driving to have a new to you car, not to be driving your parents' car. Not that there's anything wrong with doing that, but it is just a nice little extra added gift.
Yeah.
To be able to drive your own car.
Well, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to read some of your comments here on the YouTube channel. When we come back, we'll take some of your questions while we wrap up the show here on a rainy Friday afternoon. It's been coming down. It's supposed to be coming in and out. We'll see how much we get. I heard that there were some places in the Metro East that got 1 to 2 inches, which is crazy. That happened this afternoon. We'll take a quick break. Results of the YouTube live chat poll. Which do you prefer, 105 degree heat index or negative 5 degree wind chill? We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Let us know what your vote is. Which do you prefer, the hot, hot heat or the freezing negative degree wind chill on the Annie Fry YouTube channel? We're doing a little Ask Us Anything next question here. And I had one written down I wanted to ask you guys, and I was like taking notes on this as I went. But who is it? What kind of musical artist? It could. I was thinking initially singing, but then I thought you could probably add in instruments as well. But name an artist or artists that you would just sit and listen to them do anything. Like if they have a song and you've not heard it before, it's just as great as everything you've ever heard before. My three are Chris Stapleton, John Mayer, and Michael W. Smith.
Oh, Michael W. Smith. Wow.
His voice. I mean, I was raised with Christian contemporary music kind of being integrated into my childhood, but he has such a great storytelling voice. It's just really a tangible, I just love his voice.
Dave Gilmour from Pink Floyd, he doesn't do a lot new, but when he does, I'm always interested to see what it is. And it's usually decent, just because he's an unbelievable guitarist. He's not like a super great songwriter on his own, but he's such a good guitarist. So the band that I drove up to Chicago recently, the artist to see...
Did you ever get your picture?
I never got a single picture from that event where I'm assassinating a puppet.
It'll come out in your campaign.
Yeah. Look at this guy. He's a killer.
Vicky says John Mayer, Jackson Browne, and Bonnie Raitt. It's interesting choices.
I can't think of my last one. Maybe Supergrass, but they don't make... None of these bands really make a whole lot anymore.
Kevin says Prince. He's definitely one of those voices that, like, if you like one song, you're going to like them all because it's so unique. I'm not really the person who's begging for more Prince. But Purple Rain did come on in the car the other day, two nights ago, and my kids were singing it, and I was very impressed. And then I said something about Simon and Garfunkel, and they... Because that was another one. Like, I can listen to Simon and Garfunkel just do their thing. They did not know Simon and Garfunkel. I almost had an entire... I almost told Ethan, make all the songs Simon and Garfunkel songs on a show. We might do that one day. What about you, Brad?
I really like Eric Clapton and his guitar, so I could listen to him play guitar forever. Another group that I like, and it's just a unique sound, is Maneskin. I don't know if you guys have heard them. I really like them. They just got a unique, different sounding voice and lead singer and sound. It kind of old school, but with a new sound to it. And then the last person would be Charlie Puth. I don't know if you guys have heard of him or not, but he can make music out of almost anything, and that just fascinates me.
Next question, Ryan.
Pull up one from a listener here. Lionheart. Whoops.
I don't. Go ahead. You have to pull back up.
Okay. Let me see what happened to it. He asks, if two vegans are arguing, is that still called having a beef?
Yeah.
All right, next one. Next question. Do you have any nervous habits?
Yeah. I didn't know this until I bruised myself. But I hold my hands, and I know this because I was assistant coach for basketball. My husband's the head coach. I head coach volleyball. He head coaches basketball, at least up until this last year he did. And I sit on the bench and help navigate like playing time and whatever. And I put my right hand like I was gonna go in to shake somebody's hand across the front of me, and then I put my other hand like interlocking my thumbs, and I rub the inside part of my thumb. I just sit there and hold it and rub it really tightly. And I didn't know that I did it until we got done with this one tournament. We ended up winning 2 points, third place in a big tournament. And I had a bruise on my hand. Like, my whole hand had spiraled out into a bruise because the whole tournament I had been sitting there and holding it tight. And I did not know that. That's my nervous habit.
I pop my knuckles all the time.
Because you're nervous?
But not because I'm nervous. I just do it all the time. I don't think I'm nervous, but I know people think that that looks nervous.
Are there anything else that you just do that has nothing to do with you being nervous?
No. I do. You know what I've noticed recently is that when I'm stressed more than nervous, I kind of grind my teeth.
Oh, yeah? And that's cause tension and stress in your jaw and give you headaches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing that more.
What about you, Brad?
I kind of do the teeth grinding. I'll catch myself doing the teeth grinding thing, but the other thing that I do is I'll either bite or pick at my fingernails, and that's really when I'm getting super nervous or frustrated or worried. And then the weird thing is I'll yawn.
Good.
If I'm really nervous, I'll yawn.
Next question, Brad. You got one?
Yeah. If each cast member was a person on The View, who would each cast member be?
Didn't we do this already?
Didn't we?
I think we yes. might have.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I didn't delete that one then.
Well, obviously, Ryan would be Whoopi.
I would be Whoopi, and I think that's pretty clear. You're Sonny Hostin.
Actually, let's not talk about us. Let's just, who would Ethan be? We'll just go around the room.
Yeah. Okay,
Ethan.
Who's Ethan?
Joy. Red hair.
Red hair.
Gingers. Gingers.
I
stick together.
I would say of everybody on The View, Ethan would probably be Joy Behar.
Joy Behar and a little Whoopi and a little Sonny Hostin all mixed together.
Mm-hmm.
It's really what he brings to the table.
Anna Navarro.
Is he coming in here to do the poll? Or did he quit?
I think sure he is, but I thought he'd be in here by now, too.
I did,
so.
Too. All right. I guess we'll just end it there.
Yeah.
Which do you prefer? Temperature-wise, this has been a very hot week, very miserable in the heat. Hopefully, you've stayed inside or had a good place to cool off. Do you prefer 105-degree heat index or a negative 5-degree wind chill? Brad, what about you?
I would rather be hot than cold, so give me the 105.
Ryan?
Almost always cold in these two extremes. I'll take the heat.
Yeah, I'm taking the heat as well, as did 66% of you all, 251 votes. Prefer what it is right now. We are closer to next Christmas than we are to last Christmas, folks.
Oh.
Yay! Welcome, it's Christmas time. I was in Michael's yesterday. They have Halloween stuff out. It stopped me in my tracks.
Really?
Yes. Thank you for being with us here today. A reminder, AnnieFryShow.com for podcasts, for everything you want with the Annie Fry Show. You can also stream us live on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Keep it right there and keep it here on 97.1 FM Talk. Mark Reardon is next.